So yeah, usually we just discuss TV show stuff, but every once in a while we pop into the world of music to talk about music stuff. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting to do that this week because big news in the world of rock and roll bands from my era. But the bigger sort of topic I guess I wanted to talk about is how hard it is to replace a member of a band. In this case, it's this band Linkin Park that lost their singer, and you know how difficult it is to replace a person who is super famous, super well known, super well loved, and has a super unique voice. But first off, I guess, do you have any examples of that you can think of in your time when a band had to change somebody recognizable and famous, and how did it go?
Well, they're not any that I knew personally, but in the Rolling Stones, when Brian Jones died, so he was one because apparently he was very influential in their very early music. The Beatles, I didn't know anything about this because this was pre-Beatles super fame, but they had Pete Best was their drummer who got replaced by Ringo Starr. Okay, Keith Moon for The Who. Another kind of frenetic. He was a frenetic drummer, just kind of frenetic. That's the only word I can think of for Keith. But yeah, there were any number of those guys in the 1960s that were famous, and then usually somebody died of a drug overdose or something, and yeah, they replaced them.
Yeah, I feel like Keith Moon is actually a pretty good example because yeah, like the more unique a person is, the more memorable, then the harder it is to replace them, you know? Like, no offense to other musicians, but there are some times when it's like, yeah, swap in this person, swap out that person, it's not as noticeable. But yeah, sometimes you get those like big personalities and really memorable people, and it's like, man, that must be a tough job as a member of that band to try to figure out how to go forward.
And when people talk about Pete Best with the Beatles, I don't know that when they became famous, if Pete Best would have been, I don't think he would have been as remarkable as Ringo Starr, because Ringo Starr immediately caught everybody's interest because everybody else was like kind of handsome, and Ringo wasn't. Ringo had that big schnoz and he had the big flashy rings and everything, and he really stood out as a remarkable character, and everybody talked about what a fabulous drummer he was. Now, history says that Pete Best was as good a drummer, but whether he would have had that same charisma that Ringo Starr did, I don't know. I don't think so, but really, I don't know, and nobody will ever know.
Yeah, it's actually quite funny how memorable Ringo Starr is. Like to the point that I can tell you which songs Ringo wrote. I can't tell you who wrote the other Beatles songs, but I know all the Ringo songs. I don't know why I know that. It's just Ringo somehow stands out, you know? It's just very strange.
Well, the Ringo songs too were always kind of light and frivolous, and Yellow Submarine and all that. Come on. But his songs were always, yeah, more. They didn't have the depth that the McCartney Lennon songs did, but they're memorable. And Ringo Starr is a very, very memorable person. And a lot of it was he looked so different than the others did. And he had those rings.
Yeah, and in The Simpsons, there was a plot about how the Beatle who Marge had a crush on and who she made paintings of and stuff, it was Ringo. And I feel like that's not really a coincidence. Of course, it was Ringo. Why wouldn't it be Ringo? So in this case, this band, Linkin Park, I feel like this is one of those cases where, you know, when we did the Chili Peppers episode, as we went through it, there were a lot of songs where you were like, oh, I've heard that song, or oh, I know that song, you know, that came up quite a bit. I have a feeling with Linkin Park it would be similar. There's probably a lot of songs that you've heard on the radio over the past 25 years that you would go, oh yeah, I know that song. But I don't know that we'll touch on those necessarily, because in this case, what I wanted to do is I picked specific performances this band gave of not necessarily their most famous songs, just because I just want to demonstrate how incredible their singer was. This guy, Chester Bennington. Just like a 10 out of 10, A plus, super unique. I mean, you'll see as we watch these things that like this is the guy you cannot replace. It's just not possible. So that's going to kind of set the stage, I guess, for the big news that happened this week. So this band started in around the year 2000, and I remember I didn't really like them initially because they seemed overproduced to me. You know, I came with that grunge era where you just got to be, you got to be down and dirty and everything's got to be legit and authentic. Where Linkin Park felt sort of candy coated, you know, it was like the pop, the candy version of metal music, of like rock music. But then I just had to give in eventually, because while they are this like very well produced, extremely carefully constructed, like every song is so carefully put together and it's like the perfect pop formula every time. But it's the perfect pop formula. They just nail it over and over. And eventually I had to say, like, all right, I throw my hands up. This band's amazing. I love this band. But it took a little time because they were like too perfect. But as an example of that, this first song I'm going to play you, it's a song called Burn It Down. And it's a live performance they did in 2012 in Germany. And like, you'll see how ostentatious this is. It was at an award show or something. And there's like smoke machines and there's fire shooting up. And it's like the most over the top thing in the world. But this guy, Chester Bennington, even in a live setting, he's perfect. He's perfect. Like, his voice is unbelievable. But I think the best thing to do is just to play it, just to show you what this guy's voice was like.
Okay, because I'm not really familiar with these guys. But maybe I know their songs and I just don't know the artists.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'll know this song. It's not a big hit or anything. But yeah, again, like I said, I'm sure it's a band that I'm sure you have heard somewhere, but you wouldn't know that it was them or whatever. You know, you had to be an angsty kid to be into Linkin Park.
Place.
Wow, yeah, like the sparks cascading down at the end and stuff. This is definitely reminding me a little bit of like, this is why I initially resisted that band. It's because I was just like, what is this band? Come on, you know, you guys are so operatic. But then eventually I was like, yeah, but I mean, man, these songs are catchy though. They're so good.
Well, the thing that's the main singer, wonderful voice, and he's very articulate. You can understand what he's saying. I find out so much of that music from your era, it's just a bunch of indecipherable words, but his stuff is good. And when you compare the two singers there, the guy on the keyboard and the main man, there's no comparison. The main man is the voice. The keyboard guy's just sort of anybody. I think anybody could be singing that part.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into him a bit later. But yeah, no, you're right, especially because, yeah, this is kind of like the generation of bands that came right after. All that stuff I was into, you know, the Pearl Jam and the Nirvana and stuff, that was the early 90s, and this was right at the end, very late, if not early 2000s. So yeah, this was kind of the next wave, and I do think it was, because yeah, that thing you're talking about, they call it the Jarl, like, you know, that's how all the grunge bands sang. And the joke I heard about that is so true is that they all sound like Cher.
<You know? laughs> I hadn't thought of that, but you know what? Now that's kind of true.
So I think it's not coincidence that in the mid-90s, all that stuff started to fall away. And in the late 90s, it became pop music again. It was, you know, Mariah Carey and Garth Brooks and Britney Spears. And then the next wave of metal bands, I think, yeah, it's like they went through the seas of pop and they came out the other side as pop rock bands. You know, like there's no question Linkin Park is a very poppy band. So, yeah, at first I was like, oh, I don't know, this isn't cool enough. But then I was like, yeah, but I guess it is actually. It's pretty great. So, yeah, that guy, Chester Bennington, I mean, the elephant in the room is the reason he passed away is unfortunately he committed suicide in 2017. And that's kind of beyond the scope of what we're going to talk about. That's a whole different topic, but I mean, I have to bring it up. And one of the things that is a common, like super common thing in Linkin Park songs is these songs about, basically he had a lot of abuse in his childhood. And there's all these songs about how, as poppy and as glittery as these songs sound, the lyrics are 9 times out of 10 about how, you know, time is not healing these wounds. Things are not getting better. Whatever I'm trying to do to get on top of this is not working. Almost to the point that it was like it happened so often that it became almost like a cliche. It's like, wow, Linkin Park sure does have a lot of songs about this. And then it became a very like eerie punctuation mark at the end when he eventually did commit suicide, because it's like, oh, that's why they had all those songs, because he wasn't kidding. Like, that's really what was going on with this guy. So this second song, this is one of their earlier songs when they were more of a rock band, because I want to just show on that side, not only does this guy have a very beautiful voice, but for just like, I'm just going to scream my head off crazy rock song, he was also 10 out of 10 at that, like unmatched, untouchable. Like this song is like a physical feat, but also it's eerie because it is just to hear it back, like the lyrics of this song and of a bunch of these songs, it's all that stuff I was just saying. This song is called Given Up. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's just, what's wrong with me? I'm tired of feeling like this. Nothing is helping. And yeah, I don't know, at the time, I didn't know how seriously to take it because I thought like, ah, you know, maybe it's, I almost thought like maybe it's a marketing thing, you know, like, ah, you just want teenagers to buy your album. What better way than give them some lyrics about how everything sucks? But it turns out everything actually did suck with this guy. So the song is creepy in that way, but mainly why I'm playing it for you is just to show the other side of his voice. Like the heavy metal version of how this guy sings is also incredible and just 10 out of 10.
As you're talking, I'm getting images of Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, and I mean, Kurt Cobain's the famous one, but I mean, geez, when I go back over the...
I mean, he's an irreplaceable voice. There's no question. I mean, Nirvana just kind of fell apart after that.
And I mean, when I go back over all the bands of my youth, I mean, there's so many of them with dead people in them. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. But again, that's probably a different, that's a heavier topic. But again, I have to bring it up. Mm.
giving.
Man, yeah, that one, that's a great example of, like, you know, that's a heavy ass song. He's getting his demons out, but still so goddamn catchy. Man, this band is good at writing catchy songs. Like, wow.
Yeah, I like the production of that too. I mean, they're singing about a pretty downer type song. So if you'd had all the glitz and the fire and all that stuff, you know, would have been distracting to that production.
That song's a bit famous too, because the scream in that song, when the album that was on came out, people presumed it was a studio trick. Like, nobody can scream for that long. And then they started performing it live, and they're like, holy shit. Like, wow. So in a way, that's, again, just another side of, I mean, there's many, many reasons why it'd be impossible to replace this guy. But even just on a purely, like, Guinness Book of World Records fucking way, you know, it's like, who can do that? That's, like, crazy stuff. And then just to top things off again, just to get kind of setting the scene of the different styles of Linkin Park, I was just kind of poking around, looking up a few of my favorite Linkin Park songs, just to look at their live performances and see what I could find. And I found this one I'd never seen before. This is really cool. This is this song called "In My Remains" that's also from 2012, and this is, I think, from a fan meetup, because it's literally just a room full of people. It's the rapper guy, his name's Mike Shinoda. We'll get into him after this. It's just Mike on the keyboard, Chester singing, and just in a room. And it's like, holy God. Again, I feel like this might be the best example of all, of just the, especially in the era, again, how I was saying they came up as things were becoming very pop again, after grunge ended and things became pop. And then right after that, everything became like auto-tune, you know, and like studio tricks, and it doesn't necessarily matter if you can sing, we'll fix the pitch on you, you know, we'll do it with computers and stuff, we'll just fix it all. And that's one thing that's really impressive about Linkin Park, is as perfect as these songs sound, they're not perfect through a trick, they're perfect because they just perform them perfectly. So this is a great example of that. It's literally just the two of them. It's about as stripped down as you can get, and it's crazy. It's so good.
This is the song we warm up to before we play. On this tour, so we're actually gonna do our warm up now.
This is just a warm up. This is like pre-show, everything. Are you coming?
Oh, there we go. There's the crash course in Linkin Park. But yeah, I just thought that would be a good little sampling just to sort of demonstrate the situation they were in when he passed away. It's like, you know, there's no just, oh, let's just get a new singer. You know, let's just, let's just find someone else. You know, it's like that's hard to do in any circumstance, but I feel like that's impossible to do in this circumstance. There's just nobody else that's going to be.
Well, you got to find somebody who's got a real... He's got a real wide range, this guy. He's a good singer. And as I say, he enunciates extremely well when he sings. He's got a beautiful voice. But he doesn't just sing on one level. He covers. He can sing quite low, but he can also sing very high. So he's that a wide, wide range.
So that other guy, the guy on the keyboard who raps sometimes, that guy's name is Mike Shinoda, and he actually started the band. He was in the band before Chester. Basically, it is, for all intents and purposes, it's basically his band. He's the one who had the vision. He's the one who developed the sound that they had. But as you mentioned, you know, he's not Chester, you know. He's a very talented man, but he doesn't have that voice, obviously. So, you know, what does he do now? What does he do now that his friend is dead and his band is essentially over? And that was 7 years ago that happened. So I just thought we'd take a quick little Mike Shinoda break, because what he did do in the interim I thought was really cool. He did a solo album, and in this case, I couldn't find any live performances of this song, so now we're switching over to music video land, back to production stuff, but it's kind of appropriate because he's a production master. He's so good at the production side of stuff. But I think what made this kind of neat is I'll just play one of the songs he did on a solo album he put out, where that's one of those things that could easily be, I don't know, you could take it a lot of ways, the solo album that you do after. You know, you could make the argument, like, let's just pack it up, let's just stop right here. But I think what made his solo album really neat is he really went out of his way to make sure it wasn't pretentious and it wasn't ponderous or overblown. It was like really simple. It's just these songs that he did by himself in his house with very few instruments. And he does all the singing, even though, again, he's not the singer guy, but now he was. So you get that kind of vulnerability of him now being the singer. And I like, too, that he didn't get even poetic with it. He really just straightforward. Here's some songs about how messed up things are right now. Like, this song is just called Nothing Makes Sense Anymore. And it's just lyrics about, like, up is down, black is white. Everything is messed up now. Very simple and straightforward.
Before you get into that, who did the writing of most of the songs in Linkin Park?
I think it's safe to say, I mean, while it is a group effort, it's definitely Mike Shinoda, the keyboard guy. He is the, you know, he's the captain of the ship. Although lyric-wise, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think Chester wrote a lot of the lyrics. But there, you know, if you look at the actual songwriting credits, everybody in the band contributes a lot. They have a DJ, they have a really good guitarist, a really good bass player, really good drummer. Everybody was really good in their own ways. But, you know, definitely, it's like they were like the two head guys, where you kind of knew Mike was the brains behind the operation, but Chester is, you know, he's the guy. You know, it's like, this can't work without Chester either. So, here's just an example, I guess, of it, because this is really just because it's a good song. I just kind of want to show you this song. And it's just kind of neat to see, I guess, just to see that this is what it remains now, is that Chester's gone, but the band, clearly the creative energy behind the band is not gone, because this solo album Mike Shinoda did is really, really good. And it's even just kind of a neat music video where this was when there was all those wildfires happening in California. Mm-hmm. So again, where he just made this very simple album by himself in his house. This is a really simple video where he just went out one day after the fires and he's just walking through the burned remains of one of these areas where there was a fire, and he just filmed it all by himself. So this is all, like, as opposed to that first one we watched where it's the cascading sparkles and the flames, this is the other side of the coin. It's just him by himself, just doing a little solo album, but it's really good. So I thought we should just give that a listen, just to demonstrate what this in-between era was like, what was happening after Chester passed away, and, you know, now what?
Okay, number four.
Far enough to keep me safe, but the ground was cracked open, threw me in the ocean, cast me out away at sea, and the waves are still breaking. Now that I awaken, no one's left to answer me. My inside's out, my left is right, my upside's down, my back is wide. I hope I'm
song. He doesn't have the range of Chester, but I take back, you know, I said he didn't have any kind of a special voice. Well, he doesn't have a bad voice. He just doesn't have the range, but he's got the music and he's got the lyrics. And it sounds to me like he may have contributed to the early Linkin Park. He may have been very, very influential in doing a lot of the writing because it's the same theme. It's the same sound of the early stuff.
And I think that was fair, you know, when you said about his voice, because he wasn't actually singing in the stuff we heard. He was just doing the rap stuff, which early on, that's what he was, the rap guy. And yeah, it's like he's in a weird spot in that sense that he's very precise and he's a very capable rapper. Like he can rap on a beat very, very well. But, you know, no one has ever said like, one of the all-time great rappers. I actually think he is better at singing than he is rapping, but he never used to do that, you know?
And when he is singing solo, you get an appreciation of his singing talent. It's pretty good. It's just when you compare him with somebody like this Chester guy who has such a wide range in vocals, it's probably not fair to do a comparison because obviously this Chester's voice is one of those special voices that there's not a lot of people have it, but he did. So to do a comparison is probably not fair because this guy on his own solo, yeah, he does okay. I could see him becoming the front vocal man in Linkin Park. And as long as they've still got the vocals and the sound and the songs that have a certain theme to them, yeah, I could see them being able to carry on. It's not a replacement of the Chester voice, but it's not a replacement, but a carrying on, a revitalization of it.
And that is certainly something people did talk about, is like maybe you could do Linkin Park with just one singer. But I think that's one thing in that song in particular, that line, "I'm a call without an answer," definitely stands out because that is always what would happen in Linkin Park songs. Either it was entirely Chester or it would be a little bit of Mike. You know, Mike could sing a little bit or he'd do a bit of rapping and then he'd throw it out to the other guy, to the other voice, you know. And now, like, that was a really good solo album and it was kind of like a cathartic thing to listen to. But it was the call without an answer, you know. It was weird of like, yeah, it's just one guy now, you know. So everything was just in this weird limbo of, is it going to go anywhere else? Like, this could just be the end of it. That could be the coda. You could just say that's the end of Linkin Park. I don't think anybody would have had any problems with that. It would have made a lot of sense. And it's obvious that, you know, they can all go on and do other stuff. And I know that they did, like, their DJ guy, he's a director. He directed a movie, I believe. And Mike started doing soundtrack work. And, you know, they could just move on. They could just move on and call it a day on Linkin Park, and that would be that. Which for 7 years is what happened, you know? Everyone kind of presumed, like, maybe that's it. I think Shinoda was born in 77. So, you know, he's not old, but old enough that they could call an end to the rock and roll days, if that's what they decided to do. So the reason we're doing this podcast this week, why I said this is a big week for 2000s era rock music, is they started this like countdown timer of like something big is going to happen, but they didn't say what. It's just the timer's ticking down. And I don't know how they managed to keep this under wraps either in the internet age. It's crazy. Nobody knew what the plan was. Nobody knew what was going to happen. But eventually what did happen, or they sent out stuff to their fan group. They've always been really good about that, like that one we watched of just them performing for fans, and they always put out special CDs for their fan club. So people in the fan club, they brought in people from like Brazil and from all over, and they took them to a venue, but then it's like, nope, that wasn't the real one. We'll take you to the other venue, like, you know, throw everyone off. No one knows what's happening. And then what ended up happening is this live stream that they streamed online with some fans. And again, no one had any idea what was going on. There's talk of like, is this Linkin Park now? Are they back? What is this? And we're going to watch the first song that they performed just the other day. But notably, when this starts, it is just Linkin Park without Chester. It is just the band without Chester Bennington. So they start performing a song and still no one knows what's going on. They're like, so is this the plan? Like you were saying, like, is this just going to be Linkin Park with Mike Shinoda on vocals. So basically what happened, nobody expected, nobody knew this was coming. It basically blew everyone's fucking mind, including me. So that's what we're going to watch now.
Obviously, they bring in some new dude.
Well, let's see. Let's see.
Okay. All right, let's check out this and see who is it. I hope it's not Justin Bieber.
I mean, there was a lot of talk about different people. There was no Bieber, but... Man, I've been listening to that song, no exaggeration, like all week, and it still like gives me shivers, man, because she doesn't sound like Chester, but it's like hearing a fucking ghost. I don't know. It just sounds like Linkin Park.
You know what? She's got the range. That's why. She's also got that able to sing low, but also at a very high level. And when you hear her sing, if you thought that this Mike guy might be able to carry it, you know that he can't, because you can see the big difference in the ability to vocalize. She's got it. And he, and what she does as a result of it, she shows the weakness in his. Like when he was singing solo, it was fine. But when he, his voice is put against a strong voice like that, his gets diminished. And it was the same thing when he was singing with this Chester guy, because he also could do it. Anybody who sang around him took like a second seat of being just kind of average, like just like anybody else out there, because these people have got these voices that are spectacular and cover such a wide range.
Yeah, it really would be. Again, no disrespect, I'm a huge fan of Mike Shinoda, but if it was him by himself, I wonder what that would have to be, like the folk music version of Linkin Park? Like, yeah, like you just could never... The way I kind of think of it is, because again, like he's obviously the architect of these songs, but so he wants it to have that sound. He wants it to have that buzzsaw sound that just comes in and cuts your fucking head off. Mm-hmm. But he can't do that himself. He has to deploy someone else.
Yeah.
But that's what he does. And he's, it's just, yeah, it's so perfect.
Yeah. Smart move. Because, yeah, there are just certain people who have exceptional vocal skills and others don't. There's nothing wrong with their voices, but they're very kind of standard, average. Most of us have that ability, but very few of us have that ability to cover such a wide range of vocal sounds, of going from the very low to the very high and doing it in like without taking a breath. They just do it. Those are the exceptional singers of the world. She's got it.
So yeah, apparently this lady, her name is Emily Armstrong. She's been a musician for ages. She's in her late 30s, I think. She's been around. She has a band that I'd never heard of before, but was like, you know, medium popular apparently. But to me, and I think to most people, it's like, who the hell even is this? Where did this lady come from? And it turns out that in kind of in the background, they've just been casually collaborating with a bunch of different people. Like, ah, we'll try this person, we'll try that person. Maybe it'll come out that they tried Justin Bieber. You never know. but apparently when they did stuff with her, and what Mike said is like, even though she's not even quite the same key as Chester. Ironically, I think her voice is actually deeper than Chester's. But he said, even though it's a little different and they have to kind of change the key of the songs sometimes a little bit, because they did a whole performance after this where she sang a bunch of the old songs. That was their only new song so far. But he said it's just the first time that it felt like Linkin Park. Like he felt like he could put the name Linkin Park on this project and not feel like some kind of weird sellout, you know, or that he was just trying to revive his old band for no reason. Like even though this is different and it'll be a new era, it just feels right. And I definitely agree. Like when she first started singing, I've heard people describe her or compare her to Janis Joplin. And it's like, oh yeah, I can see that. But then she hits that chorus. And again, it's like the buzzsaw. That's where it goes to that extra level of just like, that's like an inhuman demon is singing this song. You know, it's like, wow.
See, I wouldn't compare her to Janis Joplin. Janis had that kind of gravelly sound. But Janis Joplin did not have this kind of range. This is more like a, now you're probably going to say, oh my God, but this is more like a Bette Midler person.
Sure, hey, I got nothing against Bette Midler.
She's got that voice that can cover like a wide range. She can sing kind of loud, raunchy, but she can also sing soft and low. And Bette Midler's got a range like that. And there's any other number of really good artists out there who have got that range. This girl can obviously sing very low, but can also move very quickly up to that kind of screamy level and still be articulate. That's the sound of a good range.
But yeah, with this Emily Armstrong lady, I don't have the examples here, but they have been playing like a live shows throughout the week and stuff has been coming out. And there are like of the two sides, I guess any Linkin Park fans listening, they'll know what I'm talking about, where when she does the song Lost, it's super quiet, super acoustic, pulls it off. But then they have this song called Keys to the Kingdom that is just one of those, like, you just have to scream it at an 11 to pull this off. I don't even know that they ever performed it live with Chester. I don't think they did, but she pulled it off. And it's like, all right. I mean, again, having listened to her over the week and different stuff, I don't know. If you had to put the ribbon on somebody, I mean, what's the point? But Chester is still untouchable. I don't think she's as good as Chester. However, I there's no point. Again, there's no point in trying to get another Chester. It's not going to happen. So as far as taking things in a new spin.
And you kind of have to move on to from a constant comparison. These are obviously two different singers. They both have a wide range. She's got a female voice, of course. He's got a male voice. So there's differences there. So to be fair to both of them, instead of a comparison, and that she's his replacement, but she's different. Everything she produces is going to be different because, well, she's not the same person, obviously. She's obviously, because of her female stats, she's going to have a different range of voice than he did. So I think it's in fairness, you need to look at them both as individuals, two of them with extremely good singing voices and extremely wide ranges that they can, they can go from like 0 to 10 in a vocal thing without taking a breath. Like that's pretty remarkable.
And then, of course, you know, this is one of these things that I don't know how it would have gone back in the olden days where information traveled slower and like maybe you'd write an angry letter to Cream magazine or something, but it is a little different in the internet era where now you just have every Tom, Dick, and Harry has their opinion about stuff. So, you know, there's people that are just upset about many things. I won't bother getting into it, but man, people are trying their hardest to make this not cool. They're like, oh, look at this picture I dug up of Emily Armstrong from 11 years ago. Look who she used to be friends with. And oh, her parents are part of this crazy religion. Did you know that? She probably is too. It's just like, oh, shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who cares? How does that diminish from the talent that this girl obviously has? And they made a wise choice to get a girl too. That's kind of, hey, pretty cool. Because especially if you'd gotten another male singer, then the comparisons would have been constant. They just never would have stopped between this new male singer and this Chester guy. But the fact that she's a girl, yeah, she can stand alone all by herself. She's definitely got it. But those comparisons might not be quite as severe as if it had been a male singer replacing a male singer.
And it's one of those things too, where one of the, beyond people just like, oh, they shouldn't have used the same name, but again, who cares? Or people complaining about like, oh, if you compare her performance of the old songs to Chester's, all this stuff, where really what I'm more interested in, instead of trying to, see how this blueprint lines up to the past, is I'm more interested in the future. Like, it wouldn't matter to me if this was called Linkin Park or not. This could have just been called anything. It could have a different name. I still kind of think of it that way. Is like, it's the name doesn't matter. I'm just glad that there's a new, I guess, like, okay, I'm trying to say here and get my thoughts together. Like that solo song that we listened to with Mike Shinoda, Call Without an Answer. He's all by himself. Even just from that perspective, I'm excited about this. Even if you just look at it as the Mike Shinoda experience, you know, like Mike Shinoda now gets to continue on and make new songs in the style of Linkin Park. Now he has the other voice. He can write these songs that do go to that next level. Because to me, yeah, instead of comparing all how does she perform all the old songs, that song they just did, that new song, that's the one that's been stuck in my head all week. Like, that's what makes me excited. I want to hear the new stuff that they're going to do because it's going to be different. But there is still just that ghost of Linkin Park floating around in it. And it's just like, man, that's so damn cool. I'm so good. Like, I didn't realize how glad I was that they would come back, you know? And then all of a sudden it's just like, wow, this is the coolest shit in the world. And no one knew it was going to happen. I still can't believe that they kept this under wraps like that. And no one even knew who this lady was, you know, like 1% of people had heard of her before. And everyone else was like, what is going on here? So yeah, I just thought it was just 10 out of 10, cool as hell.
And it's too bad that the critics of this new movement just can't get past this thing. Like, okay, so if they do old songs, because of course, if they're playing at concerts, people who are going to the concerts will want to hear a mix of old and new. Those are the most successful concerts in the world. And if you come out and just play new music, people they don't get taken with that. But you throw in a few of the old ones, hey, that makes people feel so happy. So rather than saying, well, she doesn't sing the old song the way that he did. Well, of course she isn't going to sing it the way he did. She's not him. And he's gone. So accept the fact that he is gone. And here is a new spin on what was a very successful old song, and accept it for what it is, rather than constantly saying, well, it's not the way he would have done it. Well, no, but he obviously isn't going to come back and do it. So yeah, get over exactly. yourself and get on with it. Or if you don't like it, then don't listen to them anymore. But if you really were Linkin Park fans, then you are willing to look into the future and say, well, obviously things have changed from matters beyond anybody's control. And these guys are carrying on, and they have found a pretty remarkable replacement who can perform those songs because she's got that range.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting about taking their time, biding their time like this, and so carefully. Like, it seems like such a careful decision, because in the same way that, you know, I spent the whole first half of this podcast talking about how you can't replace Chester Bennington, in the same way, it's like this new singer, Emily Armstrong, is like, it's not like there's a bunch of her either. You know, it seems like when Mike Shinoda talked about that story of them just collaborating with different people and seeing what happened, and all of a sudden with this one person, it feels different than with everyone else. It's like a similar situation of like, yeah, I can understand why. Like, there's not a dozen more of her just walking around ready to come in and be on your songs, you know? It's just her. So in that sense, it's a really good replacement. I do wonder, too, I don't want to delve too deep into the haterade, but I wonder how much of it is, like, obviously with the internet, everyone can just spew their unfiltered thoughts, and people who just want attention, and negative opinions get more attention than positive ones. But also, and maybe it's just a function of being super famous. The Linkin Park is just way too famous, so it just draws in every rando. But there's something too about Linkin Park fans. I don't know, man. I gotta say, I don't really like them. They're just very entitled, and like, this is not a new thing for them. This will be the third album in a row that they're just like, I hate their attitude about it. Like, they were always complaining about, like, oh, I don't like the new direction. I don't like this new album. Oh, this sucks. And then after Chester died, then suddenly they're backpedaling, like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. And it's like, shut up. You can't do that now. Too late. So I don't know.
Well, I don't think they're any different than in the history of rock and roll going back, you know, 40, 50 years. It's always been like that. Well, let's go way back. Elvis Presley. Okay, so Elvis Presley had his early days when he was, you know, pretty rocking, pretty good looking, running around the black leather jacket, and it was just sheer rock and roll. And he got in with that Colonel Parker and became kind of a soft soap kind of stuff. Well, the stuff about him, you know, so that even to the point that what do people, the image that they have of Elvis Presley is not him as a young hot guy, you know, with all the girls screaming after him. They show him in that white sequin suit with the, you know, and he's overweight and he's got the bloated face. I mean, what a sad life that man had at the end. But that is the image that people kind of carry around about Elvis. And now he's a joke because of those last few years of his life when he was just so overweight and the drugs and all that kind of stuff. And when at the height of his career, like, wow, like there was nothing like him in that day and age. And yet there are, I won't say his diehard fans of the today, but of the day. Oh, yeah, complain and whine and man, and he's not that. Like, it's just never ending. And I bet you could take any famous either solo performer or band, and if you checked into their history a little bit, you'd find the same thing that you just said about Linkin Park.
Yeah, it really makes you not want to ever be famous, right? I mean, what is the point? You just are just some idiot's pinata, basically. And that's sort of the feeling I got, which really disappointed me after all these years, is yeah, like, just, it's like there's a whole segment of this fan group that is just like happy to get their pinata back. Like, let's find something to complain about. And it's like, oh my God. What the fuck? Linkin Park's back and that's all you can do? You fucking dickhead. So anyway, I'm just trying to ignore it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Why can't you appreciate them for the artists that they are and the music they produce and enjoy it? because that's what it's all about. Instead of negative this, negative that, she doesn't sound like him, and he didn't, and he shouldn't have killed himself, and then, and then, what are they going to do? Whatever. Like, get over yourself, people.
Yeah, I mean, the entitlement is crazy of just like, yeah, like, who are you? You're just some person. Well, I always kind of think this of like, I think of like, imagine if they had Twitter during World War II. If you could go back and read what all the citizens were posting on social media back then, and you'd be like, wow, look at all these dumb opinions and all this bigoted, weird nonsense. People sure were dumb.
And now I'm going to laugh because guess what we're doing?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like 50 years from now,
who are we?
When people look back at the stuff that we posted online, they're going to be like, man, those people from 2024 were dumb as anything, you know? Like, there's no question. That's what the future is going to think, because we are. Like, we just...
If they even bother.
Yeah, yeah, maybe they'll just have moved on. Like, who cares? So I just thought to finish off that same song we just listened to. It's called The Emptiness Machine. I just thought it'd be cool to listen to. They put out an official music video for it. So let's just finish off by listening to that one more time, because as good as it is live, it's really neat to hear the studio version. Because again, this is like, you can tell Mike Shinoda's been in the lab probably for years tinkering away. And like, it's just so, so perfect. Like if you looked up pop rock song in an encyclopedia, they would just point you to this. Like, it's like the perfect little 3-minute song. It's so good. So it's just kind of neat to hear it in a studio environment, because it makes her sound even better. It's just so good. And the video is kind of neat in its own silly way, because the idea of the video is they all just have normal jobs now. I don't think this ever happened in real life, but you know, it's like, oh geez, our band's over. I guess we just got to go get an office job. Guess got to work for UPS. And then it's like pulling them all back together. Let's come back together. Get the band back together.
Your blades are sharpened with precision, flashing your favorite point of view. I know you're waiting in the distance, just like you always do, just like you always do. Already pulling me in, already under my skin, and I know exactly how this ends. I let you cut me open just to watch me bleed. Gave up who I am for who you wanted me to be. Don't know why I'm hoping for what I won't receive. Falling for the promise of the emptiness machine. The emptiness machine.
Open.
Yeah, like wrapping it back around to what I was saying at the start, that my first impression of Linkin Park 24 years ago was like, oh, I don't know, they're kind of candy-coated. I'm not sure if I like this. Now I'm like, give me the candy. Oh, that candy's so good. Give me more candy.
But again, just to one more comment about the vocals. Like, he starts off singing, and he sounds great. And he sounds good, and he sounds clear. But when she comes on, she blows him right out of the water. Yeah. She really has got, yeah, she's an excellent replacement for the guy that passed away. Yeah, she's got the voice.
Yeah, so I really do feel like, again, I guess like I was saying, just that the overall thesis of how do you replace people in a band, you know, how do you pull that off? And again, there's been many times in my life of other bands I've listened to where they've had to replace people and it's gone, you know, usually it goes well. There's a lot of talented musicians in the world. I can't think of any time it went terribly, but this went, not only did this go so incredibly better than I ever could have conceived of, but because it's Chester Bennington, again, I feel like if you went through all the singers of my sort of rough era, these people weren't picture perfect the way Chester Bennington was. Like, he's the toughest one, and they somehow pulled it off. They pulled it off, and it's just, it's crazy. I'm still just like, I can't believe this worked out so well. So yeah, I guess I'm just fucking excited for the new album. Here are some new Linkin Park songs.
Well, thank you for introducing that to me, because I knew their name, but I really wasn't familiar with anything that they did.
Yeah, it's one of those things too, like I was saying with the Chili Peppers stuff, of like, oh, the secret, like, oh, I didn't realize that was a Chili Peppers song. Like, maybe now, you know, you'll hear just on the radio, there's probably only like maybe three or four Linkin Park songs that are so famous that they are still on the radio all the time, but they're out there. So yeah, just maybe you'll hear one and go like, hey, is that you'll be cool to your friends, like, hey, is that Linkin Park
with their new girl singer?
Yeah, you guys, you know, have you heard about her parents and their get into the gossip?